Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
As we are looking for the truth, right, we're going to be asking the hard questions. And I don't think that we should be afraid to ask the hard questions. Something that's very important is the relationship of the United States and Israel to world Jewry. And, you know, I think sometimes I look at the American behavior around Israel and I just think, I would treat my friends differently, right? I'd show up for my friends, and I'm not sure that the United States always has. I get it, they are fighting their own domestic issues. But talking about their domestic issues, there's been a lot of violence. And I wanted to find out if it could, the impact of protests, of violence, on the American political stability. So we've invited Stephen Groost. He's the head of African Governance and Diplomacy Program at the South African Institute of International Affairs. And he joins me now. Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Hi, Kathy. I'm very well, thanks. How are you doing?
I am very well, thank you. So we saw the latest attack on Donald Trump. And, you know, America has a terrible, terrible track record of presidents being assassinated. Do you think that it's likely to have an impact, these assassination attempts, we're talking two in as many months, on Donald Trump? Do you think it'll have an impact on their political stability and the outcome of the elections?
Well, you're right in saying that there is a legacy of over many years of American presidents being assassinated or attempting to be assassinated. You think of Lincoln in 1865, William Garfield in 1881, McKinley and others, and of course John F. Kennedy in 1963, where the leaders themselves have been attacked and killed while in office. Ronald Reagan survived an attempt on his life in 1981.
Yeah.
Violence is unfortunately very much part of the theme in this election campaign. I think it's one of the most polarized political systems anywhere in the world. There's so much at stake. There's so much riding on this election. And I think the candidates, and particularly Trump, I think, have talked up the divisions and really made it about us and them and othering the other side. As you said, he survived an attempt a few weeks ago. And then this one wasn't so much that they had a shot at him, but the Secret Service did find a gunman who'd been on the golf course for 12 hours unnoticed, pointing his gun, and then they shot five shots, and he was taken into custody eventually. But, you know, it's also a society that's awash with guns. The Second Amendment to the Constitution guarantees the right to bear arms, and that has been taken literally, and there are more guns than people in the United States. And we see not only violence against politicians, but we see almost on a weekly basis these awful school shootings or mall shootings with very high-powered weapons that are designed to do nothing other than kill the most people in the shortest amount of time.
Stephen, there are many countries, South Africa amongst them, where we have gun laws where you can get access to a gun. We don't have the school shootings that the United States does. We don't have the gun violence that the United States does. It speaks to something like that speaks to me of something that is inherently a social problem. What do you think it is?
Yeah, it's well, I think also sort of something has to do with the types of guns that are available. But you know, I don't think that's the main factor. But it is easier to get a hold of automatic weapons, of assault rifles, or to buy, you know, you can buy them in Walmart, and checks on background checks are not as strong as they should be. But yeah, there's just, in the States seems to be a culture of might makes right, and I will defend myself at any cost, and you have people who shouldn't really be owning guns getting hold of them, and snapping and, you know, going to their place of work or their place of school or shopping mall or open space letting rip. It's a polarized society. Both political parties are calling each other names. I have to say, I think it's more pronounced by the Donald Trump side. And some people are saying, well, he's reaping what he sowed, and I don't think that's a very helpful way to look at things. Nobody deserves to be targeted by political violence. But the temperature is very high. As I said, there's so much at stake in this election. You know, and we saw how easily people can be riled up into violence in January 2021, when the Capitol was stormed and people died on that day. So it is a societal problem. It is a social problem.
Why do you think that there's more riding on this election than previous elections in the United States?
You've got the first, well, not the first woman candidate, because of course Hillary Clinton was the first woman female candidate, but Kamala Harris is a female candidate. Her background is from, she's half Indian, half Caribbean, first of color. We've also had a person of color who's been president before in Obama. But this is the top job. This is the most powerful person in the world. And the parties have become more polarized. The left wing of the Democratic Party has become radicalized and, our audience, virulently anti-Israel. You have the growth of the right wing on the other side. And people in the middle are fearful and are trying to elect somebody who they think will look out for them. And Trump plays on that populism. He plays on that hatred and that fear. The arguably the president of the United States is the most powerful leader in the world, the society people, the hangers-on and the supporters, believe they would be better if their candidate wins or not. Violence in political violence in recent times. Nancy Pelosi, the former Speaker of the House, her husband was attacked by somebody wielding a hammer. Got smashed up. Gretchen Whitmer, one of the state governors, was kidnapped. It's not the it seems to be permeating throughout the society.
Stephen Gross, that is where we leave it. Thank you so much. Just before I say goodbye, your prediction. Are you willing to give us a prediction of who you think is going to come out?
This one is so close to call. It's going to depend on the 7 swing states and probably around about 100,000 votes because of the Electoral College. If I had to say, my gut would be Harris by a whisker, but don't hold me to that.
Okay, well, we'll see how that goes. Thank you so much, and I'm not sure that you're wrong.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Stephen. God bless. Bye-bye. That is Stephen Gruest. He's the head of African Governance and Diplomacy Program at the South African Institute of International Affairs.